Welcome to church. If you remain standing, we're going to jump into the Word of God. And so grab your Bibles. And there are two passages of Scripture we're going to look at today. And I really want to continue the series of messages. If you're joining us first time, we've been on a series of messages regarding open heaven. Someone say open heaven. And we've been looking at the perfect prayer of Jesus, where Jesus told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven." And so Jesus told us to pray this. It's the Lord's Prayer. He said, pray. And that prayer wasn't just some religious words to say, but it was God's desire for the intended action of earth to respond to heaven. And so, you know, we pray those words not just to say them, but how many know that we pray to see them, not just say them? Amen. And so we're looking at this perfect prayer of Jesus, and we've been on a series talking about how the gates of hell would not prevail and how God wants to open them. So we're looking at these two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19. Then we're going to jump to Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 8 as we talk about the third gate today that I've been talking about here. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my" what? God's desire is to build his church. Who is the church? It's the people. The Lord makes his promise and says, "And the gates of Hades" or hell, let's all say this together, "shall not" what? "Prevail against it." The promise of God is he wants no gate in hell to prevail. He said, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed" where? "In heaven." And so the Bible's talking about how no gate in hell should prevail against his church from going forward. Now I want to look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, because Peter and John are about to go to church. And I want you to see how a powerful thing takes place, a miracle really takes place. But I want to extract here a particular word. Go with me to verse number 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple, and at the hour of prayer," or the ninth hour, right? They came to church. Let's go, like we did today. And he says, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, who was paralyzed, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple," which is called Beautiful. And notice they're at a gate, they're by the temple. And this temple was called Beautiful. However, things weren't too pretty in his life at this moment. Isn't it interesting how things on the outside may look good, but not always good on the inside? It says, "To ask alms for those who enter into the temple." So who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple and ask for alms, they fixed their eyes on him with John and Peter, and they said, "Look at us." And watch verse 5. He says, "So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them." Someone say expectation. So notice that he had an expectation to receive something. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," he said what? "Rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And I'm praying that today as you're in church, that somebody receives strength. Come on, some marriage, some man, some woman, some young person, someone that just got out of a bad relationship, that God, come on somebody, that you receive strength. Now watch verse 8. It says, "So he leaping stood up and walked into the temple with them, walking, leaping," and what? And that's the goal, is that you walked into church, you're going to leave out leaping, praising God for the strength he's going to give you. Someone say amen. I want to talk to you. The title of my message is "The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail." This is part 3, as promised, of a 3-part message in this open heaven. However, I'm going to look at specifically about breaking limitations. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll jump into the message. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, because any opportunity we get to open your scriptures is an opportunity for the breath of God to come upon our life. For your word is the inspiration of heaven. It is the theopis nuestros. It is the breath of heaven. So God, breathe the breath of life into us through your word. And that God, today you would speak to us, that you would, God, encourage us, build us up. And as the word says, let us receive the strength that you have intended for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Come on, give God one more clap. You may be seated. And just tell the person you came with, just tell them, say, you're going to receive strength today. Come on, say, you're going to receive strength through God's word. Amen. Well, I want to continue talking here our series of messages that we've been looking at, how God's intent is for earth to experience the purposes of heaven. God has an intent, and I want to start here just by telling us that God has a desired intent for our lives, not just when we die and go to heaven, But while we're still walking on earth, that while we're living, breathing, going to our respective places of work, to our homes, with our families, that God's intent is that in those moments, that it is a moment where God is speaking to you and God is working through you. Someone should say, thank you, Jesus, right? Because we don't have to wait to die and then go to heaven and say, well, God, now I can experience you. But we can experience him now. Why does God do that? God wants us to extend that kingdom in this moment. And I think we can all agree that it is here on earth that we need more of heaven. Because watch this now. When we get to heaven, we don't need you to pray. We're already in heaven. Are you following where I'm going? Okay. When we get to heaven, we don't need you to live for God because we're all with God. When we get to heaven, I don't need you to tell nobody about Jesus because I'm like, he's right there. So you don't even tell me. He's right there. You know what I'm saying? When I get to heaven, I don't need you to pray for me because I'm already healed. When I get to heaven, you don't need to say, I prayed the devil wouldn't get you because the devil ain't in heaven. He's in hell. When I get to heaven, we don't need you to give because heaven's already built. When we get to heaven, we don't need a kids' church, right? Because them kids are already grown up. Praise God. Come on, somebody. When we get to heaven, the point I'm trying to make you is all of these things that we're talking about, we don't need them. So why do we need them here on earth? Because it is earth that needs to experience the presence and the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you want to get further into the kingdom teaching, we can say this, because God gave you and I the keys. He gave you and I earth, and he says that we are to establish his kingdom now. Someone say, heaven come now in Jesus' name. And so when we live this life out, there's an intention. Now, when we live for God, the thing that God gives us is when you're living for God, he never said that you wouldn't have a struggle, okay? And I just want to say this in my opening thoughts that I'm going to get to what I'm going to talk about. He never said you wouldn't have a struggle, because the picture is not like, well, I prayed the prayer of heaven, and so therefore, as I'm on earth, I'll never have a struggle. Oh, no. You're going to go through some stuff. I'm going to raise my hand. Some of y'all are perfect. I'm just going to say me, okay? And two people. Wow. Okay. Praise the Lord. I said, you're going to go through some stuff. Come on, somebody. Okay? You're going to go through some stuff. But the promise is that when we go through this stuff, there is an intended purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Psalm 23. In other words, I'm going to walk through these things, but God's with me, and I'm going to glorify him. And I'm going to show the world that although we may go through this, I'm still trusting in him. Now, God's desire is to build his church. And I just want to bring us all to the same place here. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said this. And well, let's revisit the scripture one more time. He says in Matthew 16, 18, he put it from the team, that'd be great. Matthew 16, 18, he says, now Peter, Matthew, I guess, yeah. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, he says, I will build my what? Church. God wants to build his church. God wants to build you up. And when you come to church, this is not a beat up, this is a build up. God wants to build up your marriage. God wants to build up your faith. God wants to build up your family. God wants to build up your conviction in him. God wants to build up the love you have for each other. God wants to build your life. And I apologize if you ever went to a church, like I said, that it was a beat up. That was never the intent of God. God wants you to be built. I'll make you this promise. You come to Freedom House, we're going to build you up. And I make you this challenge. I always say that. Here's a challenge for you, because, you know, everybody's into these challenges now. Here's your 30-day challenge. Matter of fact, here's your 365-day challenge. Serve God for 1 year all out. All out. Serve him all out. And watch what God will build in your life. And you're going to be like, why didn't I live like this sooner? You know what I'm saying? Can I get a witness? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Serve him. And what? Because God, he's all about building, not about breaking you down. And even in a crazy world, he'll build you up. Say amen. And so he says, I'm going to build my church. But then he says, let's all read this together, 1, 2, and 3. He says, and the gates of what? Hades or hell, they shall not prevail against it. And what Jesus is revealing to us is that there are gates that hell tries to stop what God is building in your life and in this generation. The enemy's trying to fight that building, okay? And their hell has gates. And I talked about these three gates, and I'm just going to recap really quick. The first gate I talked to you about, because this has been a three-part series, we even included Easter into this message, but the first gate I talked about is fear. that there are limiting gates of fear. Let's, you know, bring out the gates. That week we can do it. The sooner the better. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And so I talk about these gates. I do these analogies. And some will say hell has gates. Yeah, just put it right there if you can. Go look right there. Thank you so much. Yeah, and then right there. Thank you so much. And so there are gates, okay? And the first gate I talked about was the gate of fear. And I said how the enemy uses fear to try to stop our faith. Because the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear, okay? Because faith cannot exist without the presence of doubt. We'll talk about that in a second. But it's fear. Where fear holds us back from stepping out and trusting God. And for me, one of the ways the enemy tried to hold me back was not living in faith, but living in fear and hiding behind these gates. You know, and I shared with you about, you know, stepping out and starting my first Christian business for my life. And you know, going from a career to not believing that God can use me. And if I was afraid to get married, like, would I be a good husband? I've never seen a good marriage, you know. Would I be a good dad? You know, I didn't have a dad. And just fear, 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 fear. But if you're going to see God do something, you got to live by faith. Because fear is just the opposite of faith. Okay, pay close attention, okay? Track with me. Here's the definition of fear. Believing that what you don't see is going to happen. That's the definition of fear. Believing what you don't see is going to happen. Here's the definition of faith. Believing what you don't see is going to happen. Some of y'all missed it. Let me say it one more time. Here's the definition of fear. Believing what you don't see is going to happen. The definition of faith. Believing what you don't see is going to happen. You missed it. I'll say it one more time. Fear is believing what you don't see is going to happen. Here's faith. Believing what you don't see is going to happen. Are you following me? When you're afraid, it's like, oh my goodness, it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. And you're in fear. But when you're in faith, you're like, oh my goodness, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen because he said it's going to happen. You follow what I'm saying? Fear is just faith backwards. And the truth is, fearful people are some of the most faith-filled people. You've just been coming up with the wrong scenario. And you got to get that healed to be a person of faith and say, no, I believe. And so what the enemy does is he manipulates our faith. And the truth is, fearful people, if you fix that, you would have some of the biggest faith because you come up with some crazy stories. See what's going to happen. Wow. And then they're after me, and this is after me, and they're looking at me, and the way he looked at me, and I was over there, and I picked up on this, and I picked up on that, because, you know, I know, like, I can feel. They can't feel nothing. What you need is you need to have faith and begin to feel the Holy Ghost. You need to feel what God has in your life, and you got to start, come on, not letting no gate stop you. Say amen. Talked about doubt last Sunday, and I'm not going to preach the whole sermon, okay, but doubt is, you know, remember they named him Thomas the Doubter, but he wasn't a doubter. He just had a moment of difficulty. And how the enemy uses difficult moments to put doubt in you. And how God is not, listen, God is not, these are gates. Remember the three gates. I'm going to give you the third one as promised, okay? And the second gate I told you that I had to overcome my life, even is doubt, where the enemy tries to put doubt. Is God real? And look what you went through. Is he even there for you? And I dare you to pray this prayer if you're battling doubt. Say, God, if you're real, show me. I dare you to pray, God, if you're real, show me you're real. Some of y'all are too afraid to pray that prayer. Because you're like, I ain't praying that prayer. Because what if he's real? Well, that's what the whole reason you got to pray the prayer. You know what I'm saying? I dare you to just go and say, God, if you're real, show me. Because some of y'all, you know that you had your doubts, but God showed up. You shouldn't even be alive. You shouldn't even be in this room. You shouldn't even be walking. You shouldn't even be Come on. I wish I had four or five witnesses in this room that you know God showed you he's real. You're like, I know God's real. You know, I was in the hospital. Come on, somebody. I got to, last week at our Irvine campus, I got to meet a living miracle. You know, one of our church members who was in the hospital, the doctor told them they wouldn't live. And my wife, she got a spirit of faith on her. She said, you will walk out of that hospital and I will see you in church. While she was on a ventilator, while she was in the hospital, they said she was going to die. They told her family to make plans. And sometimes you just got to have a spirit of faith. And she came after almost a two-year battle, was at Easter service, walking on her own two feet. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Oh, see, if that was your mom, you would clap a lot louder. If that was your daughter, you would have been shouting down. You would have been, come on, somebody.
Give God a praise and say, I need more faith-filled people in my life. You know what I'm saying? That's why you got to come to an atmosphere of faith, you know? But God will prove your doubts. He said, come to church if you're a doubter. Doubters, welcome. The third one I want to talk about today, as promised, is the gate of limitation. The enemy tries to limit what God can do in your life. This is one I had to overcome. Because you see, gates, they don't attack you. Gates are meant, just close them for me. Gates are meant to stop you. They limit you. And it is the enemy's intent to try to limit what God would do in your life. And we need to learn to break the limitations that the enemy tries to put in our lives. Okay. And in the verses we just read, we come upon a particular man who was limited by, the Bible says, was lame, but he was paralyzed. And he was unable to fully function in the way he was supposed to be created healed. And so he would be carried to this gate, and at the gate, he couldn't fully function, you know. And what this is a picture of, it's a picture of how perhaps some people will come to church, and they're close enough to see it, but they're not healed enough to fully function. They're limited. They're limited. Maybe limited by a relationship experience, limited by an addiction, limited by a belief, a false belief, maybe limited by just the way they were raised, or they're just limited, okay? And in this verse, if you go to verse 5, Acts 3:5, we read that what brought a healing to this man's limitation, the Bible says, so he gave him his attention, and I want you to circle this word here, expecting to receive something from them. Just circle the word expecting. Just circle the word expecting in that verse there. Because what the scripture reveals to us, we're having Bible study here. I got a little preaching me, but let me teach. Is he's revealing to us that the corresponding healing took place because this particular man had an expectation that something was going to happen. And so his limitation didn't hold him back from an expectation that something could take place. And we read what ends up taking place is he gets healed, and Peter says, silver and gold have I not, because I got kids, just kidding. He says, silver and gold have I not. And he's like, and he says, but what I do, I give you rise. And so he gets healed, he gets rest. But the point is, he had an expectation. And that brings, so write this down. Here's your first point. We're going to finish these 4 points today. I'm telling you, I'm focused to finish them. Breakthrough, 4 points, 40. Breaking through limitations by living with a spirit of expectation. The way we break through limitations is by having a spirit of expectation. I expect that something is going to happen. There's an expectation in me that you know what? Something's coming. I'm attentive. I am leaning in. Because I'm not going to live with limitations. I'm going to live with expectation. Are you following what I'm saying? And what broke limitations in my life is I began to say, God, no, I expect that, God, you're going to do something with my life, through my life, and that you didn't just make me to live in dysfunction. You made me to live delivered. And, God, I'm going to break every generational limitation. Come on, somebody. Because, man, something's coming. And that expectation determines how we live our today, okay? How you live today. Let me give you an example. My wife, when she was pregnant, she would say, I'm expecting. Remember that? I'm expecting. And so when she was pregnant, she would, you know, belly would start growing. And imagine if she said, honey, we're expecting. And I said, nah, no, you're not. I don't believe it. He must have ate some turkey or something. So, no, honey, we need to get ready. We are expecting, and this child is coming. Let's say I didn't do nothing, and I did not prepare. 9 months later, how many know? That's pretty good, huh? I've been affected in my life. What if I didn't do nothing? Nah, I don't believe it. That baby's coming. And when that baby comes, if I didn't go get the diapers, I didn't go get the passies, I didn't go get the babas, I didn't go get the, I'll keep going. Y'all better, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't go prepare the sleeping, and I didn't go to, okay, we didn't go through all that. I didn't get the diaper bag because I did not believe with expectation. How many know that child could be affected if I didn't handle the season of expectation correctly? Are you following where I'm going? So how I handled the expectation would be how I would handle the moment of receiving and the moment of deliverance. I could mess up what was coming if I didn't carefully handle the expectation. I could actually damage what was coming into my life because I'm like, I don't believe it. Nah. Even though all the signs were that something was brewing and that God was about to bring something in my life. All I'm saying is some of us in this room, God has something. And if you would start expecting that something's coming, then you're going to treat it the right way and prepare. Someone say amen. So how you handle that, listen to me now, that expectation will affect the season that's coming into your life. And how do you know, here it is. How do you know if you're living with expectation? It shows up in your preparation. If you don't expect God to do anything big, then you will prepare small. But if you expect God to do something big, you will prepare big because I got an expectation. So I can't live with a limitation because I have an expectation that God is going to do something in my life. So that's why I can't mess around like other people mess around. Four people. That's why we can't go be doing things other people do because we are expecting something that's coming and I got to adjust myself because it's on its way. And that's why I can't go out like they go out, play like they play, fool like they fool, because there's something coming in my life that there's an expectation that is affecting my preparation. And while other people are playing, I'm preparing for what God is going to do in my heart. And that's why I go to church. That's why I read my Bible with expectation. That's why I live holy. That's why I can't just take on that habit, because there's an expectation that God is bringing something in my life and I gotta prepare in a big way. So devil, don't you try to get me caught up in the wrong stuff. Tell your neighbor, break the limitation with an expectation. That's the only way. Because I was like, nah, you can't do nothing. The devil, you know how the enemy is. Come on, somebody. You know? No, not you. No. I had to say, no. God's going to do something in my life. God's going to do something. So I pray with the expectation. And I ask God to do it. Now, expectation, I want to clarify this. Actually, write this down. Let's write down point number two. The first person we got to lift the expectation off of, we have to raise the level of low expectation you place on God. Okay? That's the first person. Because what can happen is we're like, God, I know you like create the world and all, but I don't know if you could change this kid. So you know what? I don't know if I'm going to keep doing this Christian thing. And God's like, you got to raise that level of expectation. That low, like, you know, Lord, I know, like, it's cool. We hear their stories, and you know, it's like awesome. But I don't know if you can actually change this world. You know, this world's pretty crazy. I mean, that's a pretty crazy world out there. Have you seen Facebook lately, Lord? Like, have you seen, man? God's like, come on, man. Is it too hard for God? Let me put it like this. What's big to God? Might be big to you, but what's big to God? Is God going, yo, Michael, angels, this is a big one. I never seen nothing. Because we talk to God like he's never seen what we're going through. Like, Lord, I know you fought Satan, and I know this, but you ain't never seen what I'm going through. You know, we're going to have to write another book in the Bible, what you're going through. You know what I mean? Like, now, I'm not trying to belittle what you're going through, so don't misinterpret my message. But I'm just saying, because the enemy puts limitations. The first person that we've got to lift the low expectation is off God. Let me show you this verse. This verse is a great Bible study verse, and you can go study it further, okay? But Psalm 78, I'm going to give you a theological statement. The Bible says when God was leading the nation of Israel out of a mentality of just living under oppression of Pharaoh, and he was taking them to live now in the promised land. So God was like, I'm delivering you from oppression, and I'm taking you to a place of blessing and a place of purpose and a place of experiencing the goodness of God. They would actually provoke God. They would get mad at God. Watch this. Psalm 74 says, the Lord says, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. So like they were delivered, but they weren't in their full potential, if you want to use that word today, that might translate their full purpose. During the process of transition and change, they grieved God. And then watch the next verse. This is the one right here that going. It says, yes, again and again, they tempted God. Like my kids tempt me. Don't you tempt me. Me and your mom will make another one. Just kidding. Come on, somebody. Amen. I don't know where that came from. I'm 40. I'm grown. I got something to say. Tempted again. The Bible says, and watch this now. Here's the word. It says, and limited the Holy One of Israel. For my Bible students, this one here is the one that will make you begin to study deeper and say, wait a minute. I thought God was unlimited. And yes, he is, my friends. He is unlimited. But God, theological point, has chosen to limit himself to the level of your faith and expectation and obedience. My God, that's heavy. And so here's what I had to come in grips in my own life. I'm just talking to the person behind you, I'm not talking to you. Goes all the way back, okay? Just talking to me. I had to ask myself, where in my personal faith am I limiting an unlimited God? Where am I limiting what God, close the gates, wants to do in my life? Where am I allowing the enemy to stop and get me a place of fear, doubt, unbelief, where I now begin to limit what God intended in my life to do? God's like, I want to do it through your life, in your life, but you're letting it limit you when I didn't call you to live by limitation, but I wanted you to break every demonic limit that the enemy is trying to put in your life because I want to see you, come on somebody, live out the full call of God, all of the 9 fruit of the Spirit, come on, the gifts of the Spirit, the hand of God on your life. Again, I'm not saying it's perfect. Perfect, but people see your life and say, man, I'm telling you, God's hand is on them. Now, here's the thing about this verse. It's easier to see in other people than ourselves. Like, it's so easy to see in someone else's life how the enemy's limiting them. You're like, man, you got so much potential. I'm telling you, man, if you would just, like, boom. We see it in other people, but then it's us. We're like, well, you don't know my things. My gate's like it's a big gate. That's why you need someone to encourage you. Get around people of faith. That they give you the faith to break through those limitations. The enemy puts in. Why? Because I expect God to do something. And they battled that. And I want to just clarify that expectation does not mean demanding, okay? So when I'm saying we have an expectation on God, it doesn't mean we tell God, God, you better do it. Like you better. I mean, you're supposed to be God. It doesn't mean you demand, you know, like a spoiled kid. Expectation means like, I know it's coming. Like he said it, I believe it, okay? It's like the way some of y'all that are obsessive checkers. Okay, 4 people, you know who you are. Like when you order something and you're always checking UPS, the tracking number, FedEx, and you're like always checking it, and you're like, why is it stuck in Ohio in a distribution facility, like it's been there for 3 days, and I'm just, when you're going to release my package, because I ordered it and I'm expecting it to come by Saturday because I have a dress that I bought and I need the shoes and I got to go here and it's Monday and I already timed it. If it's 3 days by Thursday and I'm expecting it. And so you're like, I'm not canceling the plans because I ordered the shoes and the shoes better get here and I got the dress and you're expecting it because you're like, UPS said you're going to deliver it. So I'm not in doubt. I'm just saying, I'm tracking it and I know it's on its way and you have an expectation and you still have your nail appointment. You still got your toes about to get, you still got all that stuff. You're not going to cancel the plans. You just have an expectation. You're still getting ready for what's about to come. And what I'm talking about is an expectation where you're like, God, you said, and so I'm not going to give up, but I'm going to track the metaphorical package. Come on, somebody. Of what you're going to bring. Because God, you said you're going to do it, so I trust you. So I believe you that you're going to do it in my life. Some will say every limitation broken in our lives. Second or thirdly, write this down. The next one is we have to live beyond the low expectations you place on yourself. This is hard for me, because if we're all honest, we beat up ourselves pretty good. Like some of us, we say the devil, but it's not the devil. The devil's like, I didn't do it. They're just beating themselves up, Lord. They're just beating themselves up. And you help the enemy beat you up. And you don't expect much of yourself, and then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And a lot of people in the Bible battled this. They battled it a lot. And I'm going to show you this verse. This is one of those verses you want to highlight. Micah 7:8. This is a good verse. It's a great verse. Micah 7:8. The Bible says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Oh, I love it. He says, though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. I love this verse because he is not denying the fact that he suffered a defeat and a fall. He's saying, yes, devil, you got me that one time. Matter of fact, you got me on Friday. You got me on Friday night. I shouldn't have went, but I went. I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. I should have never made that mistake, but I made it. And Friday, you got me on Friday. He says, but then I'm going to rise. And this is a verse that I'm telling somebody who has gone through some failure, has suffered some defeats. I want to tell you, stop beating yourself up over what limited you in the past and start believing this verse and say, yes, I might have lost the battle, but God won the war and I'm going to rise back up because he got up. I have permission to get up and stop waiting for you to get permission from somebody else. You got permission from heaven. And if God said you can do it, then you better get yourself up and you better start obeying God and say, I'm going to rise because he rose. Somebody shout amen. Tell somebody, the person you came with, say, you can get back up. And that's for someone who came to church today that maybe said, well, Pastor, you don't know the defeats I suffered. You don't know the decisions I've made. You don't know how I fell. And I'm not denying that you fell. But get back up. And stop beating yourself up. Stop prophesying that over your own life. Stop saying that you're a mess up. Listen to me. There are no dysfunctional people. There's just dysfunctional patterns. You missed what I just said. There are not dysfunctional people. There's dysfunctional patterns. Okay, because you're made in the image of God. That is why even the most messed up person knows there's got to be something better than this. Why? Because you got to break the dysfunctional pattern and become the delivered person and no longer repeat the same dysfunction that you were raised in, spoke over, or have accepted as your identity and start saying, I am not a dysfunctional person. I am a delivered person by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the resurrection, by the promises of God, and I'm going to break the dysfunctional patterns I was raised in, shown the dysfunctional patterns that I have adopted as my own. I had to do it for me and say, I'm not going to repeat that dysfunctional pattern. But I'm going to be a delivered person. And I get it. Listen, it's not like a testimony. It's my 40th birthday. I can say what I want. Where I was just like, I'm going to break that pattern by the grace of God. And so the Lord calls this guy Gideon, and it's in Judges. And Gideon, the Lord calls him, like, I know God's calling many of you in your own life, in your own area. And here's what Gideon says in Judges. It's a great piece of scripture. The Lord says to Gideon, he says, if you put that up there for me, he says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have. Tell the person you came with, go with the strength you have. Because sometimes we think we need more than what God already gave us. You're like, well, God, I would do it if you would download a little something more. Like, I need a little more for that. I only got enough for this to deal with what I'm dealing with now. But I had to learn, no, God says, go with the strength you have. I already gave you, like, everything that you've gone through to this point, God's like, I've already given you the strength. You don't need nothing more. You just need to be obedient. Ooh, that'll preach. Hallelujah. Go with the strength you have, he says, and rescue Israel from the Midianites. Rescue California from the nonsense. Rescue Orange County from all that. Rescue the Silvas from the dysfunctional patterns. You put your own last name in there. Rescue. You do it. Lord says, I'm sending you. Tell your neighbor, I think pastor's talking to you. Just say, I think he's, come on. He said, I'm sending you. Me? Wait, hold up. Send someone else. And here's how Gideon replies. He says, but Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. He just beats himself up before God. God's like, I've called you. Go with the strength you have. You'll be the one to break the dysfunctional patterns. You can start a generational blessing, not generational burdens. And he's like, Lord, how can I? I'm the weakest. Do you know, like, you're talking to God? I think you dialed the wrong number. And he starts beating himself up. Whenever God deals with your destiny, he's always going to speak to your identity. What do you identify with? And I'm the Leah. And this is why it's so important that you begin to renew your mind in who God, you're a child of God. One amen. I said, you're a child of God. Like, you have been, why? Because this is what happens in your mind. You start thinking, why me? Like, well, I can't do that. I mean, I was raised from here. I'm this, this. And why do I belong in those type of rooms or those type of places? And we just beat ourselves up. And here's what I say. Why not you? I said, why not you? You're the person God wants to put his favor on. Oh, two people, okay? See, some of you might misinterpret what I'm trying to teach this morning, but I'm telling you, no kingdom of God will be established by you living behind gates of fear, doubt, and limitation. Like, well, Lord, it's going to happen by somebody getting a revelation that, God, why can't you use me? Why not my family? Why not? Why? Why not, Lord? Might as well step out and find out if this is real, and God, you can do it. I'm not going to live behind limiting doubts, fear. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to believe you. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. I'd rather at least try to step out on the water and see if God does it. Because if I just live behind the limitations, I'll always live with regret and remorse. Somebody shout, I'm going to live with expectation. Tell the person you came with, say, stop the limits. Trust God. This is just, I'm just, my life, hell tried to put gates, I'll never forget, and, stepping out and starting Freedom House, and way back when, before Freedom House even started my first business. Well, how can I succeed after all, I was raised on Section 8 housing, and, I don't got no business mind, and I ain't got no business being in business, and it's like, why not? Like, just go, dream, do. Of course, with the faithfulness of God. Break that generation. And I think there are a lot of people within the sound of my voice that you're living by some limitation that you're placing on yourself. That God's like, I want to do so much more through your life. I like this saying, I want to live full but die empty. Like, I don't want to get to heaven and God go, there was a little more in you. It's, oh, man. God's like, I can't use it in heaven. We good. I want to die empty. I want to die, God saying, man. I was like, come on. Some of y'all know when you're trying to get that last little bit of tapatio out. Hold on. There's a little more, honey. You know what I'm saying? I want God to do that to me. Be like, man, Josiah, I was like, yo, Lord, I was like, there got to be a little more in there. Shake it a little more. Okay, some of y'all know this one because you weren't as bougie. Put a little water in it. Come on, somebody. I mean, shake it a little bit. There's a little more in there. Don't you throw it away yet. Watch it. I'll put a whole more ketchup out of there. What I'm trying to tell somebody is let's make a commitment that in 2022 that God, I am going to pour out my life for you. I'm going to believe big. I'm going to step out big. I'm going to trust big. I'm going to pray big. I'm going to ask big. And I'm going to say, Lord, if you can do it, why not in Jesus' name? Why not? I remember when we got the building in Fullerton, even Irvine, and all these areas, you know, and it's like someone told me, they said, wow, I thought about that being a church. They're like, but I never thought it could happen. And I said, well, we just did it. We just went for it. And you got to believe these things, okay? Give yourself the thing. Last one, four. Look, I finished an outline. Now I'll preach it next week. No, I'm just kidding. Number four. Live beyond the low expectation placed on you by other people. Okay, other people. And this one I identify a lot with because other people will put these limitations on your life. You know, the old adage they used to say, the saying in grade school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will. That's a lie, because words do hurt. Words are very sticky. They stick with you. And they become our inner vows. They become the echo in our mind, reminding us, tormenting us, limiting what, you know, you're just like you fill in the blank. You will never, you fill in the blank. People like you can't fill in the blank. Oh, to do that, and it's usually people that you looked up to or trusted with a relationship, and they become these inner limitations. This happened to David, okay? Again, this is Bible, okay? 1 Samuel 17:33, David wanted to go kill Goliath. Someone say that's a good thing. Say that's a good thing. He's like, I'm going to take down Goliath. Nobody will fight him. Well, then Saul, who was supposed to be the authority to build him up, to encourage him, discourages him. The Bible says Saul answered David. Watch, it's here out of the Message translation, just to paraphrase it. It says, you can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced. How many times has the devil told someone within the sound of my voice, you don't have the experience to do that? You don't have the pedigree to do that. You don't have the resources to do that. You don't have the education to do that. You don't got the connections to do that. You don't have the power to do that. You don't have the looks to do that. You don't have the voice to do that. You're not like them. The person that was supposed to encourage them discourages him. You don't got the experience, David, because he's been at this fighting business before you were even born. You can't do it. But I love the spirit of David, because David was like, well, who said you were the one that was the deciding factor of what I can or can't do? Don't you thank God that God doesn't check with your haters to see if you can do what he called you to do? I'm so glad God didn't call up all the people and say, hey, I know you don't like Josiah. Do you think he can do it? Because if you say it, I'll let him do it. God was like, no, I'm going to skip the doubters. I'm going to skip the haters. I'm going to skip the people that all my life try to put crabology and pull me to the bottom. And I just said, God, can you say I do it? And God says, you can't do all things through Christ. And I said, God, if you said I can do it, then you know what? Sabe que? I'm going to do it. And I'm going to go. And I'm going to dream. And I'm going to live. And I'm going to get married. And I'm going to have kids. And I'm going to buy a house. And I'm going to bless people. I'm going to open a business. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to love on people. I'm going to serve people. I don't care what the world may look at the color of my skin. I got a faith in God. And I'm going to go. And I'm going to go forward. And we're going to open a church. It don't matter if I'm 20 or or 30 or 40, because I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about you. And I had to break the limitation. Somebody give God a praise and break that in this house. Shout amen. Tell your neighbors, say, you got to get an expectation. Lord, I know you can do something. I'll never forget, last one. When we were going to get our first building, we were mobile church. We're meeting at set up and tear down and high schools and community centers. We're going to get this building here. And I told somebody who was a person of faith, you know, they said, well, how much is it going to cost? And I said, well, to do this project, it's expensive, you know. Got to do the permitting and the roof has to come off. Not because it was a party tear, the roof. I said, the roof has to come off. And they got to do seismic retrofitting. And because, you know, we got to do this. But I believe God can move in that church. We got kids, and they said, well, how much is it going to cost? I said, that project's going to be about $1 million. This person told me, oh, my goodness. How in the world are you going to do that? And what's the payment? And I said, the payment is this. Oh, what? Are you out of your mind? I said, man, get that off of me, man. I was like, hey. So I went to another friend. I said, it's going to be this much. He goes, oh, man, that's nothing. Our project was $20 million. I'm like, I think I feel better about my $1 million. And then we went over budget because, you know, they hit us with this and that. And, you know, it is what it is, okay? It's like easier to open a bar than a church. That's the problem. So I'm like, what? Okay, well, we'll follow the rules. What do we got to do? And so they added all this stuff to us, and we went over budget, a couple $100,000. And I'm like, man. And so I went to my friend, the one with faith, and I said, we're over budget, a couple $100,000. What should we do? He's like, oh, man, we went over budget by $5 million. I said, I feel good about my $100,000. I'm like, praise God, we can do this. You know what I'm saying? What am I trying to tell you? Maybe you've just been having the wrong people. I guess I can. You've just been around the wrong people telling you what is possible and what can be done. That's why you gotta get around some people that have gone where you're trying to go and say, yo, build up my faith. Tell me what God can do. Testify on the power. Tell me how God healed you. Tell me how God used you. That's the type of people. That's why you got to get into a place like Freedom House Church and say, build up my faith. Someone shout amen.